Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us today. Janie and I want to take some time to encourage you in these uncertain days. It gets a little hard to know how to respond, not only to others, but also to God. So in Matthew 24, Jesus warns us to not be deceived. He talks about false prophets will rise and the love of many will grow cold. And verse 13 says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." So join in the conversation as we discover how blessed are those who endure to the end. You know, we're seeing a lot of bad attitudes and actions that are filled with hate and disgust and destruction toward one another.
Well, also attitudes of passivity, lack of passion. I'm not watching television. I'm not listening to the news anymore. They are expressing bewilderment, disappointment. Many of those reactions, Sharon, are the same as unbelievers. There might be different root causes, but the expressions are really coming from their belief system. What do they know and what do they want to act upon? And yet we're missing the key ingredient, whether we are citizens of heaven or whether we are potential future citizens of hell. And the ingredient that we're missing is understanding the love of God.
Yeah, and when you were saying that, it reminded me of the cultural infiltration that we've talked about that we see in the church, that the church has accepted a lot of the cultural values.
Sharon, there is a word that seems to be missing from most conversations that I am privileged to engage in with other Christians. So I'd like to ask you, and I realize this is on the spot, but I'd like to ask you, what does the word eternal mean to you when somebody says, do you have eternal security? Are you focusing your life on the eternal? What does that mean to you in a practical day-by-day thinking process?
Well, I think that's probably an unfair question since I've sat under your tutelage for about 4 years. So I will tell you, I used to think about eternity. It was always after I died. And that was pretty much when eternity started, was when I died.
So eternity was really just like a destination. It was a place you were going to go when you died?
Well, I would say more of a life after, I guess.
Okay. You know? But you didn't have a lot of practical application as to how that would function? And
well, yeah, because, you know, I never really thought about eternity as beginning with my life now.
Okay. I appreciate your comments on that, Sharon, because I am seeing that as I listen to saints, when I say saints, I'm just talking about anybody who's in Jesus Christ.
Okay.
The New Testament addresses, so I'm not trying to make somebody into some office or position, although that is a position. But I just hear that people are not really living today with the confidence of what they already have been given to function in today. So I hear so many people becoming this overwhelmed or bewildered because they really don't have the equipping in their belief system to know what happens when they listen to the news and everything seems to be crumbling around them. I know I've heard people recently say, "Lord, didn't we pray enough? Didn't we come together and work hard to see that didn't we come together and work hard enough, Lord, so that your wishes and your will might happen?" Mm-hmm. And now it looks like everybody's gone fishing and nobody's sitting on the throne taking care of things that we believe need to happen.
Right, right.
Well, we need to wake up to our belief system, Sharon.
Right.
First of all, if we are students of the Word, then what's happening right now should not rock our boat.
Right.
It has already been outlined, described, detailed.
Well, and I think that there's some and I think that being an American has really made us struggle a little more with the way things have gone, because we never thought that that our Constitution would be so annihilated.
Well, and we are probably, as you look at the churches over in Revelations 2 and 3, we never really thought that we would be in this desperate need of anything. Mm-hmm. Remember, the church at Laodicea said, we don't need anything. We have mm-hmm. everything we need.
Well, isn't it funny, though, Janie, that we look at the church of Laodicea and we mm-hmm. say that we're in the age of Laodicea? But yet we don't look at our own hearts to see if we have apathy or if we're lukewarm. We have a tendency to look at everyone around us and think that if they would just repent, or if they would just get their hearts right, or if they would just get on fire. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times I've been in church listening to the preaching of the Church of Laodicea, and yet we don't apply that to ourselves.
We are experts at what we would call the blame game.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, as I point at you, Janie, I'm pointing at myself.
Well, and if anybody needs to update themselves on where that is in Scripture, just roll over to Romans 2. It will tell you in Romans 2, who are you to judge mm-hmm. or another man's servant? Don't you know the things you judge him in? You're guilty of yourself.
Right.
But part of our issue is we then have to make a change if we're not going to play the blame game, then that requires an adjustment on our part. That requires us letting the Lord purge our souls, our hearts, our thinking. And you know what, Sharon? We're just too busy for that.
Oh, man.
We're just too busy serving the Lord to have to stop and let the Lord purge our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why we get upset when we watch media where the Lord has already said, I'm just giving you a reality picture. You don't have to play the virtual games anymore. Well, it's happening to you in real time.
Right. And, you know, with all the lockdowns, you would think that, you know, we'd have time to
be still and know that
God is God.
And, you know, Sharon, if we are truly looking for God Almighty in everything,
mm-hmm.
I don't go to the main news anymore, because I figured, why do I want to watch a game plan that I know has virtual defeat eventually? Mm-hmm. I don't know when, but I've read the last chapter.
Right.
All right. But I turn to the Weather Channel. Well, the word they kept using on the Weather Channel was, we have known a new instability that we have never known before.
Mm.
And I thought, is God teaching us what it, quote unquote, feels like to walk a life of instability?
Oh, wow. That's good, Janie.
And if we are unstable in our own ways, then we nullify the commands of being steadfast and immovable, which is in 1 Corinthians 15. And that is the verse preceding. It said this is where our victory is.
Mm-hmm.
And because we do have victory, we know how the war ends. Maybe we don't know how each of the skirmishes are going to be defeated.
Right.
But we know who ends in the war. So we can't remain steadfast and immovable when we are unstable. And I thought to myself, Lord, are you teaching us what it feels like and how we respond when we're unstable just to the weather conditions?
Right.
Now, how much more are we unstable when we don't understand life and death?
Well, you know, Janie, I think it's really important that as we watch the weather, as we watch the news, as we mm-hmm. engage where we can to, you know, sign a petition or write a congressman or make a difference in some way, that we surrender that to the Lord. You know, it's much like giving your tithe. When you give your tithe, you don't take your tithe to the pastor and you say, okay, this is what I want done with my money, right?
Mm-hmm.
We give our tithe in faith. mm-hmm. in faith to God. And so the same needs to happen with our action in making a difference in our nation. And so when you write the congressman, when you step into a position, if you decide to, you know, run for office or be a committeeman or even sharing information, you know, whatever the case may be, but that in those things that you always turn it back to God, that God is in control, that God will have his, that you want God's will done. That every step of the way, if it's the struggles and the heartache and the troubles that we have to go through, just as Joshua and Caleb did, you know, we may have to go through some hard times and some struggles so that those who are weak or those who don't know can come to know, because we have to rely on God in every situation.
Absolutely. And I want to give you a thought today that might be considered a little far out to some, but it is definitely in the scriptures that will hopefully encourage you and anyone else. But what we are having played out before us right now, Sharon, that looks so discouraging, that looks so overwhelming, because we have lived in a prosperity lifestyle. But here's what's happening. We have been told to endure, to plan on it. You can see it in Peter. You can see it in Revelations. You can see it, well, you can see it almost in every book. Timothy specializes in it. And so we have to stop and think about the eternal as to what is happening today. We are living out what God had prophesied and told would happen to the coming of the end of the age, when Jesus Christ and Satan will have their head-to-head standoff.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So here's a little scenario. Satan comes up and says, well, if you had allowed certain things to happen to Sharon Hoskins and you would not have hindered me, I could have gotten her to deny your name.
Okay.
And the Lord says, no, my grace was sufficient and she was steadfast. Satan can come back up and say, yeah, but look at the number I did on your King David back in the Old Testament times. Look at how many times he messed up. And the Lord talks about his grace being available thousands of years ago, the same as his grace is available today, and how his sufficiency worked on David's heart to where David always repented and returned to the Lord. And the Lord says he always forgives, mm-hmm. no many times that we have to come back and confess.
Right.
That should be encouraging for people today who are trying to find some solid cement to stand on and not battling the quicksand of uncertainty that we all are facing. We are having the privilege right now, Sharon, to stand fast and give the glory to the Lord as he has his final debate with the enemy and shows that he is sovereign. He is the Alpha and Omega. His love is enduring, everlasting, and that's why he is the victor for all of eternity. And that's why we need to get a better grip on eternity, because we are fulfilling eternity today. We have more challenges and more lessons to learn, but if we could just grasp the importance of the negative today, is an incredible super positive for the end of the age. But instead, we turn off a television and go to a drive-in fast food and eat a bunch of fried food and say, I can't handle life.
All right, so let me
summarize.
Let me just summarize what you are saying. So much like what Satan said to God in regards to Job, is basically what you're saying, that if God had protected Job from all that Satan wanted to do to him, then there wouldn't have been the confirmation that Job wasn't going to deny God no matter what came upon him. So we have the facts because Job went through some adversity. And so basically that's what you're saying, that Satan will say to God, well, because you protected Sharon from having to go mm-hmm. through anything, if she had to go through adversity and hardship, if she hadn't been protected by your hand, then she would have denied you. But because she didn't have to go through anything, because she didn't have any adversity, her life was smooth and easy, and there was no persecution, there was no taking away of her comforts or her purpose or her goals in life. She didn't have anything to worry about. So she just lived her life in ease and comfort. But if she had adversity, then she would have denied you, but you protected her from that. So God really needs us to go through things. He needs us to show that we will not deny his name no matter what we are faced with.
Yes, and the enemy comes back. If you take Job as an example, Job withstood some things, and then Job faltered in being
other things.
Other things. But the thing of it is, his heart was turned towards Almighty God.
And that's the same thing we can say about David.
Yes.
And we want that to be the same thing that we can say about ourselves as we go through adversity. And, you know, every single Christian has been through adversity. We've all been through something. Like, I went through cancer. You went through sepsis. I mean, we've all been through something. And it should be encouraging for us because we're all going through this same thing together.
Yes, and Sharon, it's been told to us to expect this. We use this phrase constantly on the show. Don't cherry pick the scriptures.
Right.
And yet, a prosperous nation, a prosperous people have a tendency to become very demanding on their prosperity. Mm. All right, we love the good. And you know, that's what eternity's about. Everything that's available to us for eternity can be available to us now in the way that the Lord wants us to prove it possible in our boot training. We're not in heaven. We're not in the millennial. We are in the age of grace, and we need to read the scriptures with what it says for the age of grace. And if you look at any of Paul's writings or Peter's, he says, and you were called to this, suffering. Mm. So suffering is a part of living. And when we want to deny it, we are really nullifying from a heart of ungratitude what Jesus Christ suffered for us so that we can have life. We've just got the picture and the book mixed up. It's like we're trying to read chapters out of the middle of the book with not looking at the beginning or looking at the ending. We just want to pick out a few chapters in the middle.
Well, what I hear you saying that is kind of painting a picture for me is that there's a place of security in our eternity that God has secured for us. And as we walk this life, there's lessons that we learn, there's trying and testing along the way that determines our destiny once we are at our destination.
Okay, I like the way you finish that off. We always need to help people keep remembering there is a destination, heaven or hell, and there is a destiny of how you're going to function in either one of those places.
Right.
Okay. For heaven, it will be more than what we could ever anticipate here on earth. That's Ephesians 3. He's blessed us in ways that we cannot comprehend it right now because it's so great. Hell, there is agonies that we can't comprehend, but we experience a touch of both of those while traveling here in preparation for our destiny.
Okay.
Now, you mentioned something here a few minutes ago about David. And that triggered something in me, Sharon, because David lived his life with a lot of mess ups, but he never allowed them to be the final chapter of his life. He always brought it back to confession, repentance, a heart that wanted to be restored and move forward.
Right.
Now, the enemy decided not to leave him alone. So we know he was constantly bombarded, and sometimes with circumstances that he did not bring upon himself, but others pursued him for destruction.
Right.
Even members of his own family, even his own children, and the pain and the agony.
Had to be heart-wrenching.
And instead of dealing with the trust in the Lord the way David did, even though he agonized, we have a tendency to get really huffy with the Lord. We have a tendency to get a bad attitude with him because we have lived so prosperous. And I'm not saying that there haven't been people in America that have gone through agony. I do not want to discount because we have known some horrendous things. But Sharon, the scriptures tell us we always have a hope that is a guaranteed assurance. It's not a hope with speculation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hope in knowing the person, the creator of life, the sustainer of life, who has always been and is and always will be. And he has guaranteed that we belong to him.
And I think there's some assurance and confidence that comes along with knowing that place in eternity.
Yes.
Because it changes your perception while you travel here on earth.
Yes.
Because then everything goes back to the Father. And if we don't have eternity as a focus, then things don't go back to the Father in the right way. We're more self-absorbent, self-reliant, looking to how God can best take care of us
and
while we travel here.
Well, in John 15:9, this statement took me back quite a bit. And it says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Now, I want to ask you something, Sharon. Do you really comprehend what it is to be loved with the same love, the same intensity, the same completeness as what God loves his Son, that God loves you equally?
I think that is one area that is hard to wrap our heads around. At least it is for me.
It is for me. It's like, okay, I can be over here on the sidelines. I'm so glad that I just finally got in the door belonging to the family, and I'll sit over here in the corner
right. And
be so grateful that I'm just there. And then when I start to read the scriptures and meditate on them and see how his focus, his intensity of what he is willing to do and intercede for us today to just be a part of him,
mm-hmm.
that he delights in us. And I know to stop and think that Father God delights in me.
Well, and I think, Janie, if we understand that, if we not understand that with our own understanding, but accept that in our heart, that God loves me as he loves Jesus, his only begotten Son, then there is an assurance that comes that when you go through trials, when these things do seem to be crumbling around you and you feel like that evil is winning, that you know in your heart of hearts that God, he is the creator, he is in control, and all of these things are for the eternal purpose.
Sharon, I want to read you a verse that maybe summarizes what we've touched on today. And it says in Zephaniah 3:17, "The Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He shall rejoice over you with singing."
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a future fulfillment to the nation, but that also displays the character of God, which is unchanging. So he has a special fulfillment for his chosen Israel, but we are his chosen, the church.
Grafted in.
And I love that he will requite you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing.
That is so awesome, Janie. I love that verse. That's Zephaniah
3:17.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.